going to share a little bit about my journey so far and what I've been up to over in Australia. For people that maybe weren't here when I first spoke about YWAM, I work with a group called YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. It sometimes also stands for Young Woman After Men, or Young Warriors After Maidens, or occasionally Youth Without Any Money. But the most common one is Youth with a Mission. And it started in 1960 by a gentleman named Lauren Cunningham. And the goal of this missions organization is to know God and make him known. And so they do that in three parts or three specific focuses. The first one being evangelism, so going on outreaches to other places or working in the towns where they're settled and just showing God's love to people. Being there, going out, doing what they can to help people. And then they also do a lot of discipleship, so they have what they call discipleship schools, which is where I went, which is what I did last time, where people can come and just learn more about God and about themselves and about how to step out in their purpose or their call and how to step out in missions. And then the third thing they also do is Mercy Ministries, which is might be as simple as community service, or it might be bigger, such as working on ships that go to third world countries and give first aid to people there and medical support to them as well. So there is over 1,000 locations across the world where Youth with a Mission is settled and has people working, and that covers almost 200 countries as well where they work. And I am specifically in YWAM Brisbane, which is on Australia, in the central eastern coast. And I, just a little bit about the base specifically. There's some pictures about the base there. We are one of the larger bases, definitely not the largest, but we have about 100 staff that work there. There's like a pretty fast turnaround, so there's a lot of young people, and people come and go, and they usually stay 2 years, and with Australian visas, it can sometimes be hard for them to also stay longer. But we usually have consistently about 100 staff that are there, and then we also run 10 schools every year. So the range of students that attend those schools can be anywhere from 5 to 40. So if you do have four schools running with 40 students in each school, then it can be a pretty crowded place and a pretty busy place. But besides the schools, we also have quite a few different ministries on our base that are all happening at the same time. We have a film company that works on the base, so they have everything set up on the base, and they've made some feature films, and they work with the industry in Australia. They hire crew from the industry, actors from the industry, and they're just able to minister them to them in that way, to be God's light in that industry, which is often dark or confusing and stuff for people. We also have a worship ministry, so they might help other churches out in other towns or in our city with their worship teams. We also host an open worship night for anyone that wants to come to our base once a month and be able to worship with us. And then we also have a rural town ministry. It's called Beach to Bush. And they go out into, they're called country towns, so anything that's not a city is called a country town, not just a town. And they go out there and they spend time with people and help the churches or families or farmers and kids in whatever way they're asked to or whatever way presents itself, whether that's going into schools or running after-school programs or just helping out on people's farms or, you know, if there's a drought going on or whatever it might be. And then we also have a cafe ministry. So we actually have a cafe on our base as well that people from the city can come get discounted coffee because drinks are expensive there. It's about $4 for a can of pop. And they can come for discounted coffee, and the team that works in the cafe there, their focus is to build relationships with the people that come in and, you know, talk to them and just be open with them and have a loving and safe environment they can go to and that they can feel the difference and then ask more questions. about the base and about God and stuff like that. And they also have places where you can hang up art and, you know, minister that way or show God's light through art or through events that they put on the weekends and stuff like that. And then our other ministry group that we also have is the one that I'm a part of, and it's called Go Teams. And that doesn't really tell you anything about what Go Teams does, but it's a little hard to describe because we do so much. So the easiest way to explain it is that we go out and show God's truth and love, and we do it in a variety of ways. This is the team, actually, so there's six of us right now. If any men are interested, Jimmy would love some more testosterone in the office. He's been the only guy in there for quite a while. but yeah, what we do can be split up probably into three categories. So there's community ministry, we also do youth ministry, and then we do lots of discipleship. And so with the community ministry, we do a lot of community service. So we might go out and help mow lawns or help elderly people move or do chores around the house if they can't find anyone to help them with that. We also run community events such as an Easter festival that we put on for the city each year, and it's free for everyone to attend, and just has family-friendly games and activities, and it, you know, gets a lot of people asking questions like, why are you guys doing this for free? Why do you care? What does Easter mean to you guys? That kind of thing. It opens up lots of opportunities with that. And actually this past year, we ended up not being able to run it because it rained all weekend, and we were kind of up to our shins in water, so we had to cancel it. But we're going to be doing that again this next year. We also do creative arts ministries in the community. So there's a small community center a few blocks away from us called Pick-A-Bean. And I've been running art classes there for homeschooled kids. So parents can bring their homeschool kids there, and then they're all together. They're getting to know each other, but we're also able to do art. And so we've been teaching them basics, human anatomy, different art styles around the world, stuff like that. And this last one that we actually did right before I came was a Christmas craft, and so we did the nativity stained glass. It's the only Christmas craft I could think of that didn't involve snow. and that was really good because then, you know, they were asking questions, and I was able to share as well about what the nativity is and what Christmas, you know, why it's named Christmas, why do we give gifts, stuff like that. We also do city evangelism, which I talked a bit about last time I was here. That's something that I was involved in a lot when I was over there for my discipleship school. But there's a place called Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, and that's the place where all the bars and strip clubs and drugs and all that stuff is, and it's a pretty popular place. So we go out there on weekends, usually weeknights. We'll go there from like 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. or 3 a.m., and, yeah, just walk around, you know, ask the Holy Spirit where he wants us, what he wants us to be doing. Sometimes we might just sit there and people will come up to us. But it's really cool because when people are down there, often they're, you know, they're there because they're looking for something. And, you know, they feel that they're missing something, but they don't know what it is. And so they're trying to fill it with all these other things. But when you're able to go down there and, you know, walk in the opposite spirit of the world and show love and stuff like that, it, you know, raises questions, and people will, a lot of time they'll come up and they'll sit beside us and they're like, oh, it's so like peaceful right here. You guys just look different. You know, what's up? And then a lot of the time they'll end up sharing their story, and it's just great to be able to be there to listen to people and then to be able to encourage them in continuing on and sharing about Jesus as well, and, you know, about their worth and their value and stuff like that. We also do lots of church training and partnership with churches throughout the city. When they go on missions, outreaches themselves, they often ask us to come and help train their teams to go out. We also run discipleship camps for youth. So like what I did last time with the discipleship training school, we'll run just week-long ones for people that are in grade 11 or grade 12. And they can come and experience that and what's that about. And they learn, you know, they have abbreviated lectures on everything instead of one lecture topic being 5 days for the week. It's only 1 day for the week. So instead of 15 hours, it's only 3 hours. And that's really good, too. We've had several people that have attended those come back to take the full course and to go out on missions trips. And then the last thing that we also do for community ministry is we do refugee ministry. So there's Kim, who is, if I go back, she's the one in the middle on the top, if it will go back. She's the one in the middle on the top. She goes to the opposite side of the city once a week, and she'll teach English to Muslim ladies. And so that's really good. We also do youth ministry is the next category. And so we go into schools a lot, and they might just ask us to be there for recess, to be able to play with the kids or to be able to talk with the kids and hang out with them. They also, the cool thing about the schools over there is even the public schools, they have chaplains in the school. So they're Christian counselors that kids can come to and talk with if they want. So we work a lot with the chaplains as well and come in for that sometimes. They also have optional religion classes in the public schools, so they often ask YWAM to come in and teach those, or to teach a course called Shine, which is another optional course that I think Hillsong actually created, and it's a course for girls or young women to be able to attend, to just be encouraged about their worth and their value and their identity. We also do lots of one-on-one mentoring in the schools. So with kids that are maybe having a harder time or that are maybe the ones that are hard for the teachers. And that's usually from grades 1 to 6. And so we'll come in and spend an hour with them each week, helping them out or just being there to listen and someone that they can talk to and confide in and stuff like that. We also do lots of sports ministry, so we have a park right across from our center that is a community park, and we'll put on what we call Sport in the Park each Wednesday, so kids and families can come down and play sports with us and have a free meal afterwards, and that's also a great place to have conversations and, to just show that value and that worth to the kids that don't always get it from homes. From whatever home they might come from. And then the last thing that we do for youth ministry as well that we've actually just started as of 15 minutes before I got on the plane to come here is the Youth Detention Center ministry, which is something that we had been trying to start for a while but just weren't able to do for a variety of reasons. But starting this next year, I'll be involved in a lot of pen pal stuff with the Youth Detention Center. And so, just being a pen pal for lots of kids that are in there and being able to just be someone that they can talk to and trust and then ask questions as well if they want to and be able to reach out in that way. Then the last category that we do as Go Team specifically is the discipleship ministry. And so that's a lot of on-base stuff. That we work with the discipleship schools that are on base. We do missions training for them. We usually send out about 20 teams each year across the world to places like China or Japan or Malaysia or Peru. And so we do a lot of team building with them. So we'll run them through courses blindfolded, and they have to trust their teammates, or they have to eat lamb hearts and oats and all this stuff, but it's all to build them together as a team and to learn to rely and trust on each other and recognize each other's strengths and work with that. And then we also do what we call mission simulations with them. So they usually don't like them at first, but they like them at the end. They'll come to class, and it'll be teaching like normal, and then suddenly they have 5 minutes to go and pack because they're leaving for their country. And then we spend the next 2 days, they have to camp out, they have to buy groceries from people that don't speak English, and so the whole base just comes and helps us put that on. They have to go through an airport And so that's really cool because it's just a way for them to learn to be prepared for the worst that may come on outreach before they actually get there, and to be able to do that in a safe environment with people that they already know and trust. And so then usually by the end of that time, then they'll come up and they'll say, oh, thank you, like, this was so good, learned a lot. During the time, though, sometimes not so much. lastly, we also do missions support. So we have a lot of people that we're in contact with in the other countries that we go to. We call them our host contacts because a lot of the time they'll be working with our teams or helping guide our teams when we send them over there. And so we're a continuous support base for them as well that they can come to if they have prayer requests or if they have any questions, and that we can help be the middleman between them and our outreach teams and help prepare our outreach teams both before and while they're over there with these contacts. And then Go Teams also helps out with a couple of the other ministries, like the Rural Town Ministry Beach to Bush. So I've gone out a few times with them to country towns, and we've spent just like a week in a town somewhere, and so that's been really great because we've been able to spend time with the kids, learn more about Australian culture and kind of, you know, what's the best way to be there for them, to share God with them in an impactful way and stuff like that. And then we also do a lot of base support, so support around the base, whether that's helping with the PowerPoint when we have lectures or worship, or whether that's actually teaching the lectures. We help out in the kitchen sometimes because, you know, when you have 200 people to feed, sometimes you need a couple extra hands. We also make videos, help out with the social media or the website, and then I also do a lot of data entry for not only my base but for a couple other bases in Australia. And so that's just logistical stuff that we need to do in order for the government to have all the information about our students and our schools to be able to graduate them at the end and to have their visas validated. That's a little bit about what we do as Go Teams. It's a lot easier to say Go Teams than to explain all that. But yeah, so it's been a really great time. It's also been a bit of a challenging time. Since I first got there, I had been having trouble sleeping and trouble resting just because of the community environment. When you're trying to sleep on a base with 200 people and there's no insulation in anything and you have five other roommates and you're a very light sleeper that wakes up when someone flips a light switch on the other side of the house, it can be a little hard to sleep. And being an introvert, too, it was sometimes hard because there was no personal space to rest or to just live in. It was all, I'm working, and there was no place to actually live when I was on base. And so then when December came around last year, it began getting worse, and it was affecting my ability to function and to attend work. So they moved me into a house, but I still had a roommate, so it wasn't really working. And then there was a period of a couple months where I was actually, where I had to quit Fortitude Valley. The people I had been training for Fortitude Valley were able to take it over, so that was good, but I spent most of my time at the house that I was at now just trying to rest and not really being able to because I just couldn't work in the office. I would just kind of sit there and stare off into space, and my leader, Angel, she'd just be like, I think you need to go home. And they tried sleep meds and sleep studies and stuff like that, and nothing worked. So it did end up, like, resulting in a lot of emotional problems and memory loss problems and stuff like that. But ultimately, I wouldn't trade it for anything because I actually learned a lot during that time. The only thing I could really do when I had energy that felt productive, because I'm an achiever and need to do something in the day to feel productive, was to read the Bible and stuff like that. And so during that time, I learned a lot about truth about God, about myself, about purpose, and being able to see things in a different way and being able to perceive things in a different way, because I think a lot of the time, at least for me, growing up when the Bible was read or when I read the Bible, you read it in one way, but a lot of the times it was the way that the world automatically thinks or the way that the world talks. And that can involve lots of condemnation or judgment or fear or pride, that kind of stuff, or anger. But being in that space and actually reading through it with a different perspective, I was able to learn a lot more. And specifically with identity, because for me that's, you know, something I realized at the end of DTS that I struggle with. I'm like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do or what my purpose is. I don't even know what my favorite hobbies are or my passions are, what matters to me. And so that was something that I ended up learning a lot about when I was going through that time. But it was like you could only learn that when you learn the truth about God and about his character and about his nature. And that requires kind of like shifting your perspective and shifting your focus. So instead of looking at all these bad things I want to overcome or looking at these things that annoy me, it's like if you're trying to walk towards the good, if you're trying to seek the kingdom, but you're looking behind you at all these bad things and focusing on them, well, you're not actually looking at the good, and it's not very productive. If you're trying to walk backwards, you're going to stumble and fall a lot. So it can be hard to not look at those things when you're naturally a pessimistic person, or when you naturally notice all the mistakes around you or in yourself and that kind of stuff. And so then that can lead, of course, to, a lack of feeling of self-worth or value or identity or importance or anything like that. So that was something that I needed to be able to shift my perspective in. And shifting perspective involves a lot of, you know, like walking in the opposite spirit of the world. There's pride and fear and control, and all those things blind us to, blind me to the light, and you have to turn around and let go of those things and focus on, you know, the kingdom and the opposite, to find that true faith and freedom in that light. And so that involves humility and trust and love, and it can apply to a lot of things, but for me it was identity and looking, okay, what does God say about me? Who is God? And then developing it from there. Because once I kind of had this, not that I have it all figured out, of course, but once I had my understanding of it and had developed a passion for teaching identity, and that's what I do now at the base a lot, is I teach identity. It was, how do I explain it? Like, identity is, I asked my art class what they thought identity was, and immediately they started pulling out their like lotions and their natural oils and all this stuff, and they were like, oh my word, we're going to be here forever. And so it's a thing that a lot of people struggle with, and I said, well, why do you think it's a thing that a lot of people struggle with? And they couldn't really give an answer, and I said, okay, so back to my original question, what do you think identity is? And they said, oh, well, it's what you think about yourself, or it's what other people think about you, or it's your job or your occupation or your passions, whatever it might be. And those are actually all the same definitions that I found in the dictionaries, but I've come to the conclusion that, from what I can gather, they're all wrong as far as what your true identity is. Because from, you know, just common sense, what it seems to me is like our identity is our core. If it's who we are, then it can't change. It always stays the same. But your opinions about yourself and other people's opinions about you, they're always going to change. And the etymology of the word identity, what it means in Latin, is actually same, or quality of being identical. And the etymology of the word same means together with, as one. And so when you look at the etymology of identity, it actually has nothing to do with just ourselves or just one person. It isn't isolated. It requires another person, and it requires something else that we are identical as, or that we are together with. And if our identity is constant but we're not constant, then that other person has to be constant, and there's only one person that's constant in the world, and that's God. So we have to identity isn't who we are, it's whose we are. And so I had to figure out whose I was. I had to learn about God and about his true character, about his true nature. What does he truly, you know, think about me? What has he truly done for me in that? And out of that, out of whose we are, our origin, then we learn our identity and who we are. And then once we learn that, then we can actually walk out in our purpose and our calling with a better understanding. Because for me, I'm always, I need to know the why behind it and the, you know, like people say, your identity is in Christ. I'm like, yes, I know that, but what does that mean? You know, or people say that, or, you know, like Jesus saved us from death, saved us from our sins. And it's like, yes, but what does that mean? How did that work? Like, how did it actually overcome sin and death? And so for me, I'm always just a person that very much likes to dig into that. And so that's something that I was able to do during that time when I couldn't be at work and wasn't thinking straight, because then I was giving up control, right? And God was able to work in and come in. And yeah, so that was a really good time. And like I said, I definitely don't have it all figured out. And my 15-minute attempt of explaining it doesn't do it justice. But that's just one of the many things that I've been able to personally learn while I'm over there. And it's been really cool because then it's developed a passion in my life for being able to share that with, wherever I am, not just Australia. But if I come back here to settle down or whatever, it's something that I can continue to seek God about and develop and continue to share with people, because I think that's the thing that a lot of people do struggle with, is identity and understanding identity or understanding those things. And so, yeah, that's just a bit about what I've been doing and what I've been learning. Briefly, I guess, about what's next. I'm attending one of our schools on the base. It's called the Basic Leadership Course. We shorten it to BLS, just like we shorten everything else. So, and yeah, like YWAM is a lot of acronyms. And unless you're with YWAM, you usually won't have any idea what someone is saying on base. Because you might walk by someone and they're saying, CDMT just had a meeting with TMPC and they can't do their BLS because the DTS is, you know, in the room or whatever. And that means that the worship team just talked with the cafe ministry and they can't do their leadership school homework because the discipleship school is in their classroom. But no one else would figure that out. But anyways, so my BLS, my leadership course, ends in April, at the end of April. And then because I'm on a student visa for that leadership course, then the visa ends in June. And originally my commitment, I was going to renew my visa and continue on until at least the end of August. But when I had all my health issues, they actually waived my commitment. So at the moment, I don't have a commitment, and it's a really strange thing for me because I'm a very committal person, and I like to be committed to something, and I like to be loyal to something, because then it helps me know what I'm going to be doing next. But it's also cool because, you know, when you trust God, then that's when the Holy Spirit can work. That's when you can open doors. That's when you're turned the other way or when you have both hands focused on him. And so far I haven't heard him say anything specific as to what I'm supposed to do next. So yeah, at the moment it's not looking like I'll renew my, visa afterwards. I might go to maybe Japan for 6 weeks first or somewhere. We have a couple teams, around the world that are kind of branches of our base. So we have one in Japan, we have one in, Prague and Detroit and quite a few others. But I might go to Japan for 6 weeks first to help out there, as well as to do some. There might be a comic book kind of evangelism seminar that will be going on there. Or I might just come home to settle right away. And all of this is, again, unless otherwise specified or told by God, things can change at any moment, and that's part of the journey, and it's the excitement So yeah, that's the plan so far. As for what this next year holds in YWAM, a lot of the past ministries I've been doing, they've come to an end just because it's the end of the year. And because I don't know what I'm doing this next year, I haven't committed to continuing them because I don't want to all of a sudden leave them hanging. So I've kind of finished those up. We'll be doing the Easter Festival this year. So once I get back, a lot of our focus until April probably will be getting the Easter Festival going. I'll be doing the Youth Detention Center pen pal stuff. I'll still be teaching the art discipleship school that we have on base. And, yeah, whatever else pops up, the data entry and whatever else God leads me to or leads to me. So, yeah, anyways, thank you guys for your time, for your prayer, for your support while I'm over there. Your guys' support has also helped me learn a lot. And, yeah, it's been a great encouragement. And, yeah, I have a very short, it's only like a minute long video, but I know when I first started on this journey, it was for video ministry, and it hasn't panned out that way, but I still do make some videos for the base. And so we have a short video that we made last year for the Easter Festival. That we ended up not running, but we're going to be using that again as a promotion for this year. So I just figured I'd show you guys that video really quick so you guys can get kind of an idea about that Easter Festival and just see a very short bit about what we will be doing this next year.